Gospel of the Lord according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. As you've heard me say before, when you listen to Scripture and you listen to the Gospel, I find it interesting to focus on how people respond to what is going on around them, whether it's Jesus saying something or somebody else says something that triggers that paragraph or story and whatnot. So I really, when I read this, was really struck by how the disciples responded when this Canaanite woman approached Jesus. Now, Jesus was off. He was not in Judah anymore. He was off in another region away, ministering and teaching people. So word had obviously spread into the regions of who this man was. So word spread quickly ahead of him, right? So you have this Canaanite woman, and they're not necessarily... I need to put a caveat in there. It's not necessarily a woman that was from the Promised Land. So if you go back to Moses and they were led into the Promised Land, that was Canaan, right? And it's not necessarily that, but Canaanite in this term represents a Gentile, a non-Jew. So that's the way we need to look at it from that perspective. But it's kind of hard and harsh when we look at how Jesus responded to this woman at first, right? This is not exactly what we would hope, right? If we came to Jesus, do you want him to tell us, "Go away, I'm not here for you, I'm here for them"? No, that's not how we want. So to kind of get a little perspective on why he responded the way he did, you really need to look at what he talked about before this woman came and approach them. And he's talking about the whole thing about what you eat. If you know that the diet of the Jews is, there's certain things they can't eat, right? There's certain things that are not proper to eat, and there's certain things you can eat, clean and unclean, right? So Jesus gets into this and he explains, well, wait a minute. You're looking at this all wrong. You're looking at it more from what you're putting inside of you. He says, but what God cares about is what's coming out of you, out of your mouth, right? So let me refresh your memory real quick. And a few verses before that, he said, so Peter wants him to explain what he just explained, the parable to us. And he said, are you still without understanding? Here again, you know, the disciples were good at that. He would say something, they'd look at him like, what did you just say, right? So Jesus kind of slams him a little bit there. He says, you still haven't figured it out yet? Come on, wake up. He says, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth, and so he's giving him a biology lesson here, right? This is basic. Do you not see whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? Who here does not know that? We all know that, right? So he states the obvious to him. So he says, but this is what he says, but what comes out of the mouth, where does that come from? Where does God care? When God speaks to us, does he speak here or does he speak here? He speaks to our heart, right? He says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts and whatnot. So keep that in mind as you listen to, I think, another very disturbing part of when the Canaanite woman approached Jesus wasn't necessarily the way Jesus responded, because Jesus had his motives as to why he answered the way he did. But I was more disturbed about the way the disciples responded. And if you remember, what did they say to Jesus for him to do with this woman?
Send her away.
Make her go away. She's bothering us. Have we ever done that? Now, what did we just talk about in here? What did I just talk about? What is important isn't what you put in, it's what comes out. So what do those words mean? What do you think she hears? Now, unfortunately, she wasn't deterred by that. But when you see, I mean, I've been reading a lot of stuff from friends and in Facebook and various other things, and people say, well, if you're a true Christian, how could you act this way? How could you say these things? And you know what? They got a point. They really do. Because we're guilty of responding exactly the same way that those disciples have responded, right? We have shunned people when it's not been convenient to us, maybe. We have shunned people in favor of others, right? Have we not? But see, Jesus didn't come just for the Jews, although he said that to the Jews because it was God's plan that he came first to them and then to the Gentiles, right? But what did this woman who was not a Jew get them to see? What did she get the disciples to see? Of course, I wish I could tell you it was at that moment the light went on and everything was changed. And we really don't need the rest of the stories in there because they figured it out. Therefore, we should all figure it out. Now, that's not what happened. But what she did was she knew. And she was not deterred. She knew who Jesus was. She did. And here's another thing. Here's another thing that struck me. What did she ask Jesus for? What did she ask Jesus for? She said, Lord, have mercy on me. She didn't necessarily ask for her daughter to be healed. I don't see that in there. She explained what was troubling her. She says, my daughter has a demon and I am being, what's the word my Bible uses? It says, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon and is tormenting me. Watching her daughter struggle and suffer with this. We've all had close friends, family members that have struggled with a demon, whether it's alcoholism, drug addiction, you name it, we've seen it, right? And we see the destruction that it causes these families, right, to deal with it. She doesn't come in there and say, Father, Lord, take all this away. She asked him for what? Mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. You see, the beauty of the psalm that Kay read. Did you guys pick up on some of the words in there? Did it sound familiar? You hear me read a lot of those same words at the end of every worship service, right? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Of course, that's the priestly blessing, and that comes out of Numbers chapter 6. But here in the psalm, you're hearing a lot of that same thing. And the beauty of that psalm is, they're praising God for his faithfulness of the harvest, but they're also praising him not for their own benefit, but for everyone else's benefit to see that Yahweh is who he says he is. He's for everybody. You see, there are times in Scripture when they absolutely got it. But when the brass comes to hit the road, they fall short. This woman came out of desperation. Have you ever seen anybody like that? There's a lot of people out there right now in the world that are desperate. You don't have to look very far. How does the Christian community respond? You see, we should respond out of compassion, out of love for anyone who comes. Because as you've heard me say before, the only Bible that some people will ever read is you. Jesus' word says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts." You see, it was in Psalm 51 when David, after the whole Bathsheba incident, finally was broken, and he got on his hands and knees and he cried, and he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." You see, this is what Jesus is talking about. This is what he's brought to each and every one of us. He has come in and we've accepted him into our hearts. Our hearts are clean and pure because who dwells there? Jesus. So when that woman comes and she says, "Have mercy on me," are we going to say, "Go away"? Or are we going to say, "God loves you and so do I"? Amen? Amen. Our response hymn.
Number 469.